Hello and welcome to episode 31 of Hypeable.com Smash Chat, the podcast all about NBC's television show Smash. I am Jess and I am joined by Mitch and Andrea. How are you guys doing today?
Fabulous.
Good. Recording for the first time from my new apartment.
I know, so exciting.
I was attempting to record from a brand new computer. That didn't turn out too well.
Unfortunately. So, do you like have a mess of boxes all around you, like sitting in some space on the floor or something?
You know, actually, like I'm moved in like fully. My family and I came up and we just, yeah, we did it all. So this is like my first non-moving activity.
That's insane. <In here.
laughs> But that's so nice to actually have it all done.
I know.
Oh my gosh, I hate moving. Oh, I hate moving so much.
Seriously.
I went like the first 18 years of my life having lived in the same house, never moving, to the past like 10 years. I think I moved like 8 times.
Yeah. And not to mention in and out of dorms like I'm always doing. I'm sure you did that too. Both of you guys did.
Yeah.
It kind of pales in comparison to a house, but ouch.
It doesn't matter if you're just moving dorm room stuff or like a whole house worth of stuff, it still sucks.
You pack things up and ugh, ew.
And that's why we go to escapism things like Smash.
Yes, which is a perfect segue.
Eric's goal. This...
Now you're going to be doing that every time.
I will, absolutely, yeah.
Totally random, but do you watch Game of Thrones or listen to that podcast?
Not at all. I'm just
okay.
Eric's school savvy from MuggleCast,
obvi. Going from it from, okay. Love it. Anyway, so this week, episode 10 of Smash, which was called The Surprise Party, aired, and it was our first Saturday night episode of Smash, which we will get to after we do our rehash, what that kind of means for the show and how it did. But so this episode kind of centered around three different storylines. We had hit list rehearsals with like the love triangle coming to a head. Then we had Bombshell, Ivy's birthday, and everything surrounding it. And then Julia going to work with Scott and Kyle. That was kind of how it was divided this week.
Right.
But so we get to see tech rehearsals for Bombshell. And oh my gosh, the awkward and tension between Tom and Ivy. Wow. At first, I swear, I thought that it was like a dream or something, or like a nightmare that Tom was having. I was like, surely this can't be how they're treating each other. But no, it was really it. Like, they were just totally like diva bitching out.
Yep. Well, it was mostly Ivy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh, mean girl.
It was intense. I was like, ooh.
I can feel the icy chill of Tom or Ivy's responses to each other. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. So we get then to see Eileen and Richard are talking, and so they're still talking with each other. We find out that the story about Ivy and her mother did indeed run on the Times, but Eileen is still wanting to get more good press because our favorite columnist, Michael Riedel, has again struck and talked poorly about Bombshell and about the tension between Ivy and Tom. And they are, of course, getting much more attention and press attention from that story than from the Times story. So this is, again, Eileen is just constantly trying to spin press and get good press for this show. Then we also find out that it's Ivy's birthday and Tom has apparently forgotten, which is, I mean, he's really busy. It still sucks because you should try to remember your friend's birthdays, but sometimes it's not that you forget it's the birthday. You just don't even realize what day it is. Cause I know I've done that before.
Apparently he doesn't check Facebook.
But I know there have been plenty of times where, like, I know what date a person's birthday is, but I think it's like that date is in another 2 days or something. I'm like, oh, that's today. But so Ivy, of course, is upset that he hasn't even remembered. And so she and Sam are planning a party. Basically, Ivy's wanting to get a little something-something for her birthday.
JFK.
And she's not very subtle about it. She's just like, no. Yeah, I want to get laid tonight. How would you do that?
So Sam is like, I'm on it. We'll find something and I love it. Because she's always like, remember, straight. A straight guy. It's so cute. But so they're planning like this big old party. And it's keep it a secret from Tom. Don't let Tom know. And so it's, again, brings up some awkward conversations when they're talking about stuff and Tom walks by and he's like, what? And they're like, oh, nothing. But then Tom is reminded, he realizes it's her birthday when she gets some flowers and somebody else then explains it's her birthday. That's why she's getting flowers. So he feels horrible and he's like, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to surprise her and try to make amends and reach out. So who does he call but his good old friend Liza Minnelli.
Of course, yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, everybody's just calls up Liza. What's up?
Yeah, presses Siri and says, call Liza, and that's it. Like, come on.
So he goes up to her and asks, or, you know, tells her happy birthday and asks if she has plans, and she says no because, again, she's trying to keep the secret, and so then she feels like she has to say yes to go out to dinner with him for her birthday. And Sam's like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. We'll make it all work out. Like, you can just come later. It'll be good. So Eileen calls Agnes, who, again, is played by Daphne Rubin Vega, and finds out about, like, press. And so she tells Agnes about the Liza thing with Tom. And so they decide to arrange it so that Riedel is there and can see this thing happening and, like, they can spin it in favor for press. But Tom doesn't know this is happening, and Eileen's trying to keep it a secret from Richard Francis because he wants her to take a night off work so they can go have some fun. So, that was a lot of summarizing, but that's what's going on, and that's, like, the setup for all this stuff. But let's talk about some of this stuff. So, what do you guys think about all this tension and back and forth between Tom and Ivy? I mean, it's one of those situations where it's like you understand why both of them are upset, but at the same time, it's like, you know, lighten up a little bit.
Right. Like, we're all in this together. We're both stuck in this business together. Let's just be pleasant, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was to be expected. Ivy was totally serious when she told him in last episode that they were not friends. And, you know, I guess she stuck with that because not very nice.
And then, you know, we get all those shots of Sam, and he's certainly holding on to his bitterness. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, completely understandable. Like, I feel like he's not quite overreacting as much as
I feel was. Like justified than she. I mean, like, I get upset, but, you know, this is for the show. Whereas, you know, Tom basically promised Sam something and then took it away. So, yeah, I get what Sam's doing here.
So what about Eileen? Like, she's pretty sneaky in all this. And it's so, again, like, this is her livelihood, like, all of her eggs are in this basket. She's put so much into this, like, so much riding on this, but I still, like, really taking advantage of, like, a personal moment between two people without even telling them, like,
yeah,
so awkward and sneaky.
I mean, to me, that literally doesn't even place her too far above people like Riedel, because that's just taking advantage of your close friends. That's horrible. That's, you know, in my mind, the equivalent to backstabbing. I don't like that idea. I think that maybe they could have told Ivy that they'll have press for whatever the special event is, and she would have understood. It wouldn't have ruined the surprise, but she would have understood that it was needed for the show. Regardless if she would get angry about that, at least she wouldn't be as surprised and angry at the same time. That she would have just kind of, you know, had to sit through it, but then been genuinely surprised when she sees, you know, who but Liza Minnelli show up.
Well,
yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know if they, like, needed to tell Ivy, but I think Eileen should have at least told Tom. Because then Tom could have been like, oh, crap, and then could have pulled Ivy aside and been like, Ivy, I am really sorry, but I just want to give you a heads up. I told Eileen that I was doing something special for you, and she decided to take advantage of it and use it to spend good press, so there is going to be press there. I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't plan this. This wasn't why I asked you out, blah, 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 blah. Right. And she may have blown up at him, but at least it would have been... I mean, and it all works out fine, but yeah, I was just like... Eh.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like what Eileen was thinking, and I'm wondering if she just maybe wanted to keep it as like natural as possible, so that you know they got like the pictures were not faked, I guess. But yeah, she really doesn't have much justification for what she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it's hard because I understand that it is a business, and she has to make these business decisions, just like Tom choosing to have Ivy's mother come in, but. She got so mad when Tom didn't tell her when he was making all these changes, like, and then she doesn't communicate. I just feel like they need better communication.
Yeah, isn't that always the problem?
Or something.
It's so true. Like, so many of these problems would be resolved if they would just actually communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. What was happening? But whatever. Okay, so, yeah, that's mostly just setting up for the big payoffs later on. But so let's jump over to Hit List. Where we get our first scene over there is Karen and Jimmy making out in the wardrobe closet area. Because they're still
quite
keeping...
Quite saucily.
Gaia. They're get still it. Keeping their relationship a secret. And so Derek, you know, is calling out, Karen! Karen! So they go out there. And then we get to see Jimmy actually is paying him back. The money, he doesn't have all of it yet, but he's at least starting off, so I was very impressed by that. And Derek seemed a little surprised, too.
Well, you know, he didn't say anything. Like, he said thank you, but he didn't say, like, oh, I'll pay you back, or, like, anything like that. So I'm like, is he just taking the money, or, you know, what's he gonna do? But it was nice to see that he did pay him back.
It was very nice, and I think that that was the beginning of what is meant to be Jimmy's redemption. Unfortunately, I don't see how that's going to play out, not only from the things we've seen this episode, but just from what we've seen in the past. It doesn't make sense for this, you know, paying back Derek move to be the first thing to show how great Jimmy's going to be. I think we all see that his downfall is coming, and it's going to be a large downfall, maybe equivalent to where he used to be. You know, that's where at least I see it. But how do you guys see Jimmy's storyline playing out? Do you think that he's going to continue to do these good deeds, or is this one of the last things we're going to see before everything kind of blows up?
I think he's going to keep, you know, improving and then messing up again and so on and so forth. But I think it'll end up well for, at least I hope it ends up all right with him. Because I mean, part of me likes him somehow. Maybe it's just his face. I don't know. But
it's probably just Jeremy Jordan.
I definitely think that they're going to continue to do the back and forth thing, but that ultimately, in the end, he will be redeemed and he will become the good guy. But that it'll be a rocky road and a rocky journey. And I do have to say, as an aside, I got a text from Cody, who listeners should remember used to host on the show with us. And he was like, I know how to fix Smash. And I said, how? Oh, and he goes, kill Karen and put Jimmy and Derek into a gay relationship.
Oh.
He's like, it would be so hot. I was like, I can't disagree with you there, buddy. So anyway, I just thought I should share that since this was a pretty appropriate time to do so. Okay, so they are continuing to rehearse, and Richard Francis is there to check out more of what's going on with Hit List, continuing from what was set up last week. And so we get to see Karen and the company perform a song for him. It's called Original. But before we talk about the song, the setup for the song within the scene, I feel like gave us a better idea of who the diva is and what her place in the show is. What I understood, and maybe I am completely wrong, it seemed to me like Karen's character and Jimmy's character were watching a YouTube video performance of the diva song that we saw last week.
Absolutely.
And then after this, the YouTube video ends, they start talking about it, and he's like, and like Karen starts talking about how she was this normal, ordinary girl who reinvented herself and became this huge star.
Right.
Right?
I feel like it's maybe someone that, who we know now is Amanda, not the girl, Amanda was aspiring to be. And that's nice that we finally have a name for Jimmy's love interest in Hit List, but we don't have a name for Jimmy's character, okay? That's a little bit weird. I really don't understand. Is there, like, a large significance that's going to be awesome? Like, once we hear his name in the show, it'll be, I don't know, something like Derek the Second, and we'll be like, oh, Jimmy really does love Derek. Cody was right. Like, I don't know.
I doubt it. I don't think there's any significance there, but...
Well, I mean, I kind of shoot down my own theory right now by saying this, that the reveal of her name being Amanda was just so nonchalant, and you really could have just missed it completely. I mean, that was definitely a blink and you'd miss a moment, because I'm pretty sure that Jamie's character was just like, come on, Amanda, let's not talk about this. I was like, wait, what? Huh?
Who's Amanda? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to keep the story with, you know, the main characters and not so much about Hit List. Right. That's my only, like, that's the only reason I could think that they aren't already giving us more information about the show. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. Even though I think sometimes it would be more helpful if we knew more about what was happening. But.
Right? So, but do you guys agree that about my, like, that's kind of what the role of the diva was within the show?
Yeah. I think so, and it makes
they
sense.
They had it out? Okay.
Because Kyle or someone last episode said that she only had the one song, so that would mm-hmm. definitely.
Okay. Just making sure that I didn't completely misinterpret that.
Nah, we're
so,
with you.
Now to the performance of Original. What did you guys think about this?
I thought it was a Taylor Swift song when it first started.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, what? Like, all the other songs had been pretty good. And I mean, not to say that I don't like, Taylor Swift to me is just kind of, I'm neutral. But I just didn't like the way that they did this one. It just looked kind of cheesy. And I don't know, it was almost like too straightforward.
Yes.
And not enough, I don't know, like metaphorical stuff in it. I don't know.
Right. Like, it had that one line that was talking about Lady Gaga. And it was like, she said that she was born this way, but you know that's wrong. And now she has all of these little monsters. And, like, that was the line. I was like,
yeah,
is what? There more? It was like, am I missing something? Or
yeah, it was a little weird for me.
And it was also, I think you hit the head on the nail because you said Taylor Swift. This came off as pop country to me, which is not the feel of Hit List that we've seen so far.
That
so,
was my thing. It felt like, I felt like the song itself was perfectly fine,
right?
But
it didn't feel
like it fit with the rest of what we've heard from Hit List, right. And so it was kind of jarring.
It definitely was.
So it took me about halfway through the song to get resettled and actually into the song.
Right.
You know, like the whole time I was like, "Whoa, what's happening?" But I do have to say that I was impressed by one Catherine McPhee's dance moves.
Yeah, in her vocals, for real. This was her sweet song. I love that reference that I made. I'm going to keep on going back to it forever, guys. I think that Catherine McPhee has this perfect pop voice. She has this, not like a quite Lea Michele quality, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about, that she has a certain literal pop in her voice. She makes, you know, consonants and vowels sounds like they need to be on the radio to me. So I think that she was perfect for the song. That's, you know, outside of the Smash universe, just that Catherine McPhee works best once again in these kind of songs. So it's good to see her in a fitting song, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so after the performance is over, Richard Francis is very much intrigued by the show. He wants to see more. He's real into it. And he's kind of talking to Derek about potentially running a story about Derek and Karen and about how Karen is his muse and, you know, all this stuff. But Derek's like, well, but we're not really. And like, it's not like that. And it's kind of this uncomfortable moment. And he's like, all right, but even though it is like that. But clearly this whole conversation really got into Derek's head and comes into play later on. But I want to know, like, what did you guys think about this conversation? And because we kind of get a glimpse at what things look like to, because Richard Francis is pretty much a completely impartial outsider to this particular, like, what's happening here. Like, he's had no involvement in them. Like, he's just coming in from the outside and seeing it, and he sees these two people being together. Like, he sees Karen as Derek's muse and how they're kind of a pair now and kind of going together, and Derek is like, eh. Like, I was just curious, what was your take on this? Because it was an interesting perspective, I thought.
I agree 1,000% that this is one of the coolest parts of Smash Season 2 for me, that we are having New York Times entertainment journalists going into the shows, you know, into the trenches, and finding stories out of, you know, whatever might be happening within or without the drama of the show, because that's a very realistic thing to do that we all do as entertainment journalists, no matter what our commitment may be. I mean, you could be like Jess doing podcasts, or you could be like Andre and I writing for, you know, an entertainment website or whatever else. So it's neat to, you know, basically see that process run through, and in a very, you know, je ne sais pas way, where it's just kind of like, oh, okay, let's just see how this will run past Derek. So, Derek, what do you think about this idea? Because that kind of makes sense to, you know, the respect of the artist, and also, you know, makes sense to get the artist's interpretation of the story you're going to write about them. So that was pretty cool in, like, a journalism aspect. I'm sorry I cut you off, Andre. My mic was muted, and I was trying to speak, and then I was like, oh, I'm already going. Here we go.
No, you're good. I was just going to say that, I mean, going off of what you were saying about the whole journalism thing, it is cool to see that dynamic, because I feel like journalists and Broadway shows and their, you know, everyone that's involved in that, I mean, they're all connected. They kind of need each other, as we've seen. So it was cool to see that. As for what Richard saw between the two of them, I mean, I wasn't sure if he was referring to the two of them sort of being an inspiration to each other, or like if he was hinting at a romantic relationship.
I saw romantic. I really did, because he said, I know it's not a good idea to run this article for your own personal reputation ever since you had all those other leading girls come off and say that you sexually abused them. But then I think it's a great story for Hit List. So I think he was telling Derek, run with the story, perhaps, you know, fuel that sexual abuse fire, but also go along with you know, improving Hit List's press. So, I mean, that's a tough decision, honestly, to make as Derek. And I don't know how exactly felt about all of those leading ladies jumping up on him and saying that they exactly, I mean, am I saying the right term by saying sexually abused them or
sexually harassed?
Sexually harassed is probably a lot better of a term. So, I don't agree with them saying that they were sexually harassed by them, because I think it always takes two to tango, no matter who's the more aggressive person in that kind of deal of there's nothing like physically happening. You know, it's more of just like, I don't know. That's just my take. I wouldn't really want to get into that because I think it's too deep for this area of the show. But I think that Derek has a very tough decision to make whether he wants to highlight that for the press.
I actually thought it was admirable that he kind of was like, no, that's not really true, because as we see later, well, I don't really want to spoil it now, but I mean, Derek has feelings of some sort for Karen, but they aren't actually in a relationship. So, you know, I actually like that he didn't almost like take ownership of her like he has in the past and was like, yeah. Go with it. You know, like we're together or something, when, you know, they're not.
And he does. He does take a strong ownership over Karen. It's a bit odd. I think it's also leading off of the way that he introduced her to the world by seeing this, you know, green promise in her and taking her up basically as a bit of his protege and taking that extra time to have her come over into his apartment so she can Marilyn dance on him or whatever that was. I don't know.
Marilyn dance on him.
Yeah, but it's definitely an interesting perspective, I think, to see like how the outside world views it and a bit of how Derek views it. And like I said, we get a little bit more insight into where he is. But I definitely think this conversation got into his head and got him thinking.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, We then get a scene between Anna and Karen. they're walking down the street as they like to do. It seems like a lot of their scenes are them walking arms linked down the street. But
it's
anyway,
just like never in their apartment.
So Anna is asking Karen about why Jimmy wants to keep them a secret. And again, is like wondering if it's a red flag that he's hiding something, like what's going on here. And Karen, of course, defends it and brushes it off. But as tends to be the case, it sticks in her head and comes up later when she and Jimmy are back in the wardrobe and she kind of presses him about it and he won't really tell her what's going on. And so she's basically like, well, until you're ready to go public, then I'm not going to meet you back here in this wardrobe. And,
go,
you know,
Karen.
She gets mad. Yeah. Like, good for you. Way to take charge. Like,
finally.
Yes, mm-hmm. Seriously. And a lot of that comes from Anna. She's a great, honest character who cares to help out others. And this was a perfect example of something, you know, working right that she was giving advice of. I don't think she's really given too much bad advice that we've seen. She just always seems to know the best way to handle a situation. And if she doesn't, she'll be quick to admit that she made a mistake, but also quick to try and fix it in the right fashion. So I just think that it's cool that finally, God, Karen's listening to Anna. Perfect.
Yeah, she's definitely a fantastic character. She's very wise. But
she is.
Yeah, I think Karen really needed that. You know, she needed that friend because I don't know if Dev really understood everything. I mean, because Dev was kind of her rock before, right? And mm-hmm. I'm not sure he really understood the business and what she was going through. So I think Anna, it was a great addition to the show.
Mm-hmm,
and you know what? She really reminds me a lot of you, Jess, because,
oh, God.
Well, I mean, part of it might be coming from, like, how you guys have, like, somewhat similar hairstyles, maybe. But the other half is very much your personalities match, because you do the same thing. You give sage advice, and you just say it like it is. Like, you have no need to beat around the bush, and it's awesome. There need to be more Anna and Jesses, okay. Seriously.
Aw. Aw, gee shucks. Thanks, Mitch. I wonder how old Anna is. Maybe she's almost 32.
Oh, you mean she's 65?
30, comma, T-O-O. Not...
Jess,
you're
saying 65 wrong.
Ha ha ha. Oh my goodness, again, totally like a tangent off the track. But I was somewhere having dinner and the waitress was like talking about, she's like, man, I've never been called old before, but one of my coworkers keeps teasing me because I keep forgetting things about going senile because I'm getting old. And the friend that I was with, we were like, how old are you? And she's like, I'm 24.
Oh my God.
We were like, what? Okay.
Oh, geez. 24 anyway. Is the new 65, apparently.
Oh, geez. I'm getting there, so don't say that.
Anyway, so then a little bit after this, we get a scene between Karen and Derek. Karen's sitting on the stage, kind of going through a scene, and Derek comes in, and she makes the comment that she can tell he's been drinking, so I guess he went off to a bar and had a drink while he thought about things, and he's very vulnerable in this scene. Like, there's, I don't know what, like, props to the actor in this scene, whose name I totally can't think of right now.
Yeah,
and I'm, thank you! Jack.
Okay, thank you.
I was like, I love this guy. Why can I not think of his name? Anyway.
Davenport.
he comes in and, you know, normally he's so like, brah. But he just had a real quiet vulnerability in this scene. Mm. And I, like almost very childlike or something.
I wanted to hug him.
Right?
I don't know what he did, but I was like, you are just the most adorable thing. And that's not normally the feeling I get when I think or see him, you know, as his character.
I swear they gave him puppy dog eyes for this scene. Like, he had, like a lot of mascara on or something good, but, like, it worked. And, like, when I saw him, I was just like, oh my God, he looks a little puppy.
But it was that kind of a reaction when he came on. And so he sits down next to Karen, and he basically admits to her that he cares about her in a different way. Because, you know, she's like, oh, I care about you too. And he's like, no, I care about you. And then Karen tells him that she is seeing Jimmy. She tells him the truth about it. And he gets upset and gets up and leaves. And
angry Derek returns, basically.
Right, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it was really pitiful. But what did you guys think about Karen's decision here, though, to tell Jack, or Jack, now I'm calling him, to tell Derek the truth?
I mean, she didn't know, you know, like, why Jimmy was saying this. So, I mean, I don't blame her for just kind of blurting it out. Yeah, at the same time, like, they had discussed not telling anyone. So, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. But I can't say that, but things happen. You know, sometimes you just blurt things out, especially in situations like that, mm-hmm. when you're like, it's kind of awkward. What am I supposed to do? Like, he just told me basically, he, like, you know, he cares about me more than I do him. Mm-hmm. So this is weird.
Mm-hmm. And what about Derek? Like, what do you think was going through his head that brought him to this point to finally tell her, or at least hint at the fact that he has feelings for her? Because, I mean,
competition with Jimmy. Absolutely.
That was a huge risk that he was taking, you know?
Definitely. Well, I think, yeah. like you said earlier, that conversation with Richard really had something to do with mm-hmm. that. At least getting him to do it now instead of, you know, any other time before. Or right. I think that's why he did it this time.
I think he sees Jimmy as a threat, and he just wants to kind of beat him to the punch.
Okay.
And to a certain extent, I mean, I don't blame him because... No day but today, you know, seize the day, whatever else is up there in there. You might as well try and just see what happens. The worst you can be told is no, all right? You're right, so.
Okay. So now let's jump over to introduce the third plot that was kind of going on this episode with Juliet and Scott. So she, you know, meets with Scott and tells him that right now the diva is just a symbol and not a real character in the show. And then Derek shows up and we find out that Scott, you know, Derek already knows that Julia is kind of helping him out. And so Julia's like, all right, well, there you go. There's my advice. And they're like, can you do a little bit more? Like, can you be a dramaturg for us? And she still is balking at the term dramaturg, but she does agree to help them a little bit more. So the three of them meet up with Kyle and... are talking to him about the story, and the whole time Kyle's just like, what about Jimmy? Shouldn't Jimmy be here? Where's Jimmy? And the thing that my favorite part, I think, was when they were like, so how do you do storyboarding? And he's like, what's that? He's so cute. It just, he's such a little innocent, like just doing whatever, and it's so cute. And you just really like, because with him, I feel like it really is this dream, and he's just like with the big wide eyes, like, oh my gosh, it's happening, and just everything makes him so excited. And
well, I think that's why there's such a cool friendship between him and Jimmy, because Jimmy is the one who stands up for them and just, you know, almost extremely, like, he takes it to the extremes where he starts yelling at people, and, you know, but he's doing it to defend his work and his friend. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle is just all sweet and just like, okay, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but whatever. Like, he's just so cute. And I think that's why it works so well between the two of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And trouble has to be brewing then with Jimmy not being involved in these big decisions. That's just a very obvious setup, but it's one that's going to be good drama because there needs to be, I think, a disconnect between Jimmy and Kyle to show that they can reconnect, that they can work past adversity like this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hulk Jimmy is coming any moment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And he will
definitely.
Hulk.
Hulk angry. Hulk smash. You be God. Oh, where's Mark Ruffalo when you need him? Anyway, so Derek leaves them to work, and they keep working, and they actually do get a storyboard up and note cards and stuff, and Julia and Scott are kind of like playing off of each other and everything, and then Kyle again in his little doe-eyed innocence is like, says something about like, why didn't y'all blah, 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 and then it comes out that Scott was kind of interested in her before, but she was married, and so there was nothing that could happen between them. And Julia's like, oh, really? So setting up a little bit more with that romance. So it comes out, you know, that he was interested, and later on they're working, and all of a sudden they're being very agreeable with each other, and Kyle's like, what's going on? Like, y'all were totally playing off, and now you're being real? They're like, what? I don't know. And so he goes to get more note cards, and they kind of talk about it a little more, and things are all flirty and everything. And so clearly setting up this romance, but then Kyle comes back in, and he's like, I have this fantastic idea. Yay! And they, of course, don't tell us until later. But so, but yeah, so again, we've kind of been suspecting it and talking about it for the past several weeks about this potential romance between Scott and Julia. And, you know, how do you guys feel about this? Do you like this pairing? Do you feel like they have chemistry? Or do you think that it's just a totally gratuitous plot just to give Julia something to do?
Chemistry. Love those two actors together. They just, they meld. It's great. They work off of each other's nuances. You know, like Deborah Messing will kind of give him like a little eye flicker up and down, and he will like try really hard to not acknowledge it, but you know he wants to. Those little things, I just like, my heart melts for them. I'm like, yes, I love it.
Oh yeah, this is 100 times better than the Julia Frank thing. I'm like,
yeah, I never felt chemistry.
So glad. Oh yeah, I'm so glad the whole Frank thing's over, because I love Scott. Well, we both know, we all know why, but
right,
because of Jesse, he's just
because he's amazing. Yeah, I completely agree with you, too. I love these two characters together. I know we've had a couple of, or at least one commenter that I can think of, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the person who said this, but I know one person is really bored with this plot line between the two of them and doesn't like their screen time and stuff, so that's what I was curious if you guys were enjoying, like, felt like it was coming off, or if you felt like it was a miss as well. So I'm sure there are other people.
I think it works because not only is it, you know, the romance, but I mean, there's like a reason for it, like,
right,
because it connects the show and stuff. It's not just like a random, okay, like, why do we need to know about her personal life when it has nothing to do with work, really, when that's what the show's about, you know?
Well, even like Tom's boyfriend, the lawyer, had very little relevance to anything but Tom. Yeah, that was a little bit ridiculous too, and we all saw that. But can I just say that literally in this episode, these little scenes between like Deborah Messing and Jesse and like let's just say like Liza Minnelli and Christian Borrell had just such amazing acting in them. I couldn't understand why a show with this, as we've said before, disgusting amount of talent cannot be noticed as much as it needs to be, not do as well as it needs to, because it's just so rare to have all these seasoned and extremely disgustingly talented actors come together for a project. They saw that there was something with this that should speak numbers for the show itself, and it's just sad that those numbers aren't like viewer numbers, you know?
It really is unfortunate. And, you know, like, part of me really dislikes the fact that they shot both seasons before any of the episodes started airing, really. So they didn't have much time. Like, in the first season, I think they shot all of it before the public saw it. And so they didn't have a chance to really change anything, you know, as the season was going, oh, this isn't working, let's change it. But at the same time, like, I feel like this season, now that it's, you know, the shooting's over and all that, I feel like it's good, because since they've been banished, like, I wouldn't want the actors to feel down, you know, while they're working and like not provide, because they really are amazing. Like, they kicked butt so far this season.
Yeah. Like, I would hate for them to let up because they knew that they were on Saturday or something now.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Agreed with both of you. Sorry, I was taking the opportunity of you two talking to actually copy and paste some listener feedback in the talk. Okay, I'm back up to my place now. Okay, so back over to Ivy and Tom. It's finally birthday dinner time. So they're at dinner, and she's just obviously not into it, keeps checking her phone, and Tom is just like, so uncomfortable, you know, hey, checking your phone is the international sign for I don't want to be here. And, you know, we see Eileen and Richard Francis sitting at a table nearby. Hello. Not the correct. Sorry. I was like, Eileen and Ivy? No. I like Tom's line. He's like, does Eileen ever go anywhere else?
It's not weird that she's here at all.
Right?
But you wouldn't think he would have queued in with something. Like, come on. She's with the arts and entertainment editor for The Times, and she's at the same restaurant where Liza Minnelli's about to show up, which you told her. So, I mean, come on. Two and two together, Tom.
Well, I really thought that he was going to mention something like that. You know, like more than just, Eileen, you know, never goes anywhere else. I thought he was going to be like, he's with so-and-so. She's with so-and-so. How weird. I wonder if, you know, something's up. But nope, I guess he didn't notice.
And that's Tom's nature for him to be snappy, too, to catch on to something like that. And I'm sad that he did it this time.
Well, and then even more than that, Ivy is like, why are Reed Allen... Agnes, the show publicist here, and he's like, I don't know. What?
Basically, they should have seen it coming.
Yeah. So then, of course, Liza walks in, and Ivy's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god! And then she's coming over to their table, and Ivy is so excited, and, you know, Tom introduces them and everything, and it's this fantastic moment for Ivy. And then, you know, she and Tom, like, hug, and everything is great. And then pictures start being taken, and Ivy's like, wait a second. Was this a press stunt? Like, I thought you were doing something for me, and this is just a press stunt for the show. And she gets very upset, which, yeah, I would be too. Like, totally understandable reaction. And Tom is like, no, I don't understand. And then he sees Eileen, and he's like, oh, this is what... So he marches over to Eileen's table and is like... Did you do this? And she's like, of course I did. And Ivy hears the conversation between them. So at least she does find out that, you know, Tom really was legitimately innocent this time. Like, he did not plan this press stunt. Of course, she's still not happy about it. And Richard Francis gets up and leaves. And then Reed Al's like, ooh, more drama.
He's everywhere all the time. Right?
He's catching everything. And so Ivy's about to leave, but then Liza Minnelli is like, where are you going, Ivy Lynn? And so she finds out that Tom wrote a birthday song for Ivy, and the two of them are going to, Liza and Tom are going to sing it for her.
That was favorite part. Because of the show, I think, because I love how Ivy's like, oh, nowhere, Liza Minnelli, I'm just gonna sit down.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like her, Liza Minnelli just ordered me to do something. I'm gonna listen.
Full name.
Yeah, you don't say no to Liza Minnelli. But so Tom goes up, and the intro to the song is super cute when he, like, is singing about how he forgot about her birthday and then found out and blah, blah, blah. But so they end up singing the song that he wrote, which is called A Love Letter from the Times. And what did you guys think about this song?
It was very fun, and it still showcased a lot of Liza Minnelli's talent, much like Bernadette Peters, you know, was showcased in, what was it, Hang the Moon or whatever the song she's singing was. So I think that her and Bernadette Peters have that seasoned actress take that I was talking about. And that it is amazing to just view a talent doing even a very, you know, giddy throwaway song with just like such passion. It's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, like, I've never been like a huge fan of Liza Minnelli, so I wasn't too excited for it really. I think they expected maybe, I don't know, like, are you guys big fans of Liza?
No.
I don't even know too much of what she's done, and I will not blame myself for that, because I think that's just past my generation.
No, it definitely is. Like, I think, I wonder if the audience is older, so they figured, oh, you know, like, this will be really cool for people who really know what she's done and stuff. But yeah, like, for me, I was just kind of like, okay, this is cool. I mean, it's cool to see, like, you know, a veteran come in and do something like this, especially because of how Ivy responded to her being there. But yeah, I wasn't like super excited for it myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I wasn't until it started, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, what's the big deal? I mean, what's she doing? Well, does anyone know off the top of their head what Liza Minnelli is known for? If there's like one or two
Cabaret.
Things.
Cabaret.
Okay, so that's basically, like I said, it's like nothing I would.
Yeah, and I mean, she's done. I think she like won an Oscar. I think for maybe I don't know if it was Cabaret, but she's you know she's done a lot of stuff like theater and movies and stuff. So
like I got the impression that from anyone that's you know in their late 20s and up and in the Broadway world as in depth as you know Ivy is would absolutely know everything, every living breathing thing of Liza Minnelli. But for me, it was kind of just like, oh okay, I know she's one of the greats. I recognize the name and. Oh, cool. I kind of recognize her face, too, but...
Right.
Yeah, no, I definitely...
I mean, it was nice of Tom to do, and, like, it was sweet how quickly he did it, too, you know? Like, this guy is... Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, we know that he didn't actually write it, but he's just awesome. Like, his character would be awesome.
Yes, very, very true. I thought you weren't finished talking.
Sorry, oh, no, that's sorry. Like, I've had, like, awkward endings to my sentences today. Apologies.
Because of the move.
So afterwards, on the street, Ivy and Tom sort of apologize to each other. You know, he apologizes for what he had to do with her mom, and she apologizes for overreacting, and it seems like, you know, things are a little bit better. But she still doesn't tell him about the party. And so they say goodbye, and then somebody from the restaurant comes out, and Ivy had left her keys. So Ivy meets up with Sam and everybody, but her booty call dude has already left. And, you know, she tells Sam that they need to lighten up on Tom, that he really is trying, and yada yada. So Tom is out walking to give Ivy her keys back, and he sees the cast members outside and, you know, says hello. And then he sees the rest, like, some more inside, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go say hi. And then right as he walks in is when they're all bringing out the cake and singing happy birthday to Ivy. And then she sees Tom, and it's really uncomfortable. And, you know, he gives her back her keys, so she knows, like, that's why he was coming. It wasn't like he just was following her or anything. And Ivy kind of chases him out, and she tells him that she had thought about inviting him but just couldn't. And they have this conversation that I thought was a really nice conversation where she's like, you know, right now, you are my boss. And I'm sorry, but there's going to be times where I want to get away from my boss. And there's going to be times where you have to do things that would hurt me as a friend, but as a director, things you have to do, like what happened with my mom. And she was like, you know, this doesn't mean that we're losing each other. We're just changing for now. And I thought that that was very mature, a mature way to look at it, and just a really, I don't know, I really liked that scene. And Ivy also is one that has become very wise this season. I mean, she still has her diva moments and her, you know, makes her mistakes, but for the most part, she's definitely gained a lot of wisdom.
Oh, yeah, and I think that a lot of her wisdom is stemming off of her losing Marilyn and then the way that she learned that she had to treat Karen. If someone trumps you or if you're not in a position that you can, you know, comfortably have a friendly conversation with someone, she's learned that she just needs to move on and not have the drama for it. And that's really cool to me. I love it.
Definitely. I mean, I think she has a point, you know, that you can't necessarily be friends with your boss. I mean, you can be as friendly as you can. You could try to be as friendly as possible, but, you know, it just doesn't always work out. So I think it was nice that they had that conversation. Although I was really hoping that she would finally invite him, you know, like right before she left. I was like, oh, just do it. Come on. Like, Sam will deal.
Right. Oh. Yeah. But, I mean, I totally do get her point. Like, even if you are friendly with your boss at work, like, there's times where you need to get away and you don't want to feel like you have to, like, you want to be able to feel like you can be yourself without any restraints or fetters on things that you can do and say.
Definitely.
So I understand her wanting to get away. I think what she could have done, though, is said, well, actually, she could have told him that she was going out with her friends from the cast, that they just wanted to have a little time. And, like, and, you know, she didn't have to invite him. She could have figured out a way to do it without making it awkward.
That's true.
Like, you know, she could have even said, like, you know, I was mad at you before, and so that's why I didn't invite you. But, like, I feel okay, but I still think maybe it would be good if you didn't come. Like, something like, you know, things are just getting better between us, and so maybe for now we still say goodnight here. Or something. You know, she could have said something.
That's true, yeah. Instead of making, but, I mean, it's awful to be that person, you know, that isn't invited and just, like, walks in and, oh, God, great.
But I don't think he should have to expect to be invited to things like this. I know he misses it, but put your big boy pants on because you are no longer a part of that crowd. You are a director. You are part of the production team to a higher extent than you were before, and you are raised up on a pedestal by a lot of people. The things you do and say will be scrutinized by absolutely everyone. And if you think that that's a way to enjoy yourself by being scrutinized and by them being afraid to speak around you, then be my guest. But I mean, in the end of the day, obviously no one's going to be happy in that kind of situation.
And that's a good point. I mean, I just think it's still part of his learning curve because he's still getting there. You know, he's not used to this position yet. And so he's still trying to figure it out. And I think he got a big lesson in this episode.
And I mean, I can't blame Tom too much for being so upset, because you can understand that in the Broadway world, they're just so extremely busy. Their friends are who they're working with. That's it. You don't have time for anyone else outside of your Broadway world that doesn't just understand where you're coming from when you say, I can't meet with you for the next month. I'll be in tech and then I'll be in opening month or whatever of my show, you know? So it's a bit sad to have to see that happen. And it's almost like we're going to see a slight change from a Tom to like a Tom Derek, where Tom to where he turns into more of a fact of the matter, here's how things are and there's nothing I can do about it kind of guy, rather than the emotional person that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, if you guys agree with that, maybe.
I don't see him becoming a full Derek, but I definitely think he'll take aspects of what Derek has done, because I mean, Derek has a point. Like, he does things the way he does for a reason. He's not a horrible person, you know, but he wants things done, and he's the leader of the show. So, you know, it's on him to get things done.
Right. And it is.
Yeah, no, I agree that Tom is, I think he's on his way to finding that balance between the two. And I do believe that he will get it. Okay, so at the end of the show, things kind of jump around between the different storylines a lot. So forgive us if we seem a little disjointed. But we get this scene with Karen and Jimmy rehearsing a scene together. And Derek is watching them, and he just keeps interrupting and yelling at them. Like, old Derek is back. Like, y'all aren't doing it right. Y'all aren't getting it. Apparently, this is a scene in which Jimmy's character is supposed to be trying to convince Karen's character, Amanda, not to commit suicide. And when he said that, I was like, whoa, that definitely is not coming across in the acting.
Well, I didn't even know that was part of the show. Like, that's heavy.
Right? Yeah. I was like, oh my. Like, so we are getting bits and pieces about the show now. But so he eventually gets frustrated and goes up there and like grabs Jimmy's arm and pulls him out of the way so he can, I guess, show him what he wants. And Karen and Jimmy are both like, whoa, what are you doing? And so everything kind of comes to a head and blows up. And, you know, Derek is like, why didn't you tell me? Jimmy is upset because Karen told Derek, and then Jimmy's like, you told me to stay away from her. Karen gets all mad at Derek and tells him that, you know, he can't treat her like she's his property and get in his life, and that it messes things up for her. And so everybody's mad. Derek storms off. Karen's mad at Jimmy because he wasn't honest with her about what happened between him and Derek, and he wasn't a man. She's like, I thought you were more of a man, and everybody's mad. So, what did you guys think about everything that happened in the scene and everybody's reactions? It was a lot packed in.
It was a lot.
A really short scene. Andrea, go.
Sorry, I dropped my phone. I was like, okay, Andrea, hope she talks. Right now, go.
Sorry, okay. I mean, it's funny the way you say it, because it was like everyone's mad at each other. So-and-so's mad at so-and-so. But, I mean, I guess it was bound to happen. And I'm just glad it finally did, because it bothered me since it happened that Derek was, you know, did such a, it was such a dick move when he basically yelled at Jimmy and told him to stay away. and it's been weeks since then. So I was like, okay, what's going to happen? Karen has to find out, like, this, you know, this isn't okay. So I'm just glad that it finally did. And, but I feel like it's going to have an effect on the show. Like, it must not be a really, you know, happy place to work at now after this happened. So,
mm-hmm. And how about Derek's attempts at denying what he did?
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah.
You totally said that.
And it's pretty much, yeah, like, stay away from her. Like, you know, she's not yours to have.
Yeah, and then, well, Karen, thank God, called him out and said, excuse me, you don't own me. I make my own decisions. I was like, oh, you go, girl. And then it was cool that she was able to, you know, prove her point to Jimmy and stay angry at him regardless of how much she loves and falls head over heels over him and just kind of be like, you know what? I'm sorry that you made a secret plan with Derek that you wouldn't tell anyone. You could have told me that. I would have understood. But at the end of the day, I agree with Karen for being upset at the two men, but I don't agree with Derek for doing what he did, which is confusing. But I think he quit director because he says, it doesn't matter, I'm done. I don't know. What do you guys think happened there?
I think he just walked off. Like, he was just done with the situation. I don't think he quit, though.
Okay. Right. So I was nervous that he did.
And I mean, I kind of thought at the moment, I was like, wait, is he gone? But then he came back. So I was like, okay, we're good. But I mean, okay, would you...
From the I'm done comment, I think all he meant was, I'm done helping you, Karen.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Because she was like, what if, you know, he's like, all I've done is help you achieve your dreams and bring you along the way with me, but I'm done now. Like, now I'm not going to look after you and try to help fix things for your best interests, which I think we get to see the results of that in the scene that we're about to talk about.
Right. But before we get there, do you guys, if you were Jimmy, like, would you have told Karen about what Derek said?
I would have. I think that it's important to be honest with someone that you're with, especially for the reasons that you're trying to not let other people know. And regardless of the fact of this being perhaps some past almost love interest for Karen, I don't think that it was Jimmy's right to confide the information that Derek told him, Jimmy, about Karen. That's a really confusing sentence.
I think that like, I get why Jimmy didn't tell her at first, but then I think once she kept pressing the issue and it kept coming up between them, like, when she would think that, like, was wondering about when he was standoffish and wondering why he, like, and kept pressing it and kept pressing it, that then is when he should have told her. Like, I get him not being like, hey, let's hook up. Oh, by the way, the reason I haven't tried to, you know, bone ya before now was because... Derek said this, so sorry, but now we can do it in secret.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with it because I wouldn't want him to be all like tattling, you know, on Derek, but at the same time, like, he should have said at least, you know, like, Derek wouldn't want it for work purposes, or like, include him in some way, if not, you know, quoting him exactly, but at least letting her know. But I mean, I don't know. Part of me is like, yeah, you should have said something. Part of me is like, I don't know. He's a director. Like, he also probably didn't want to seem like he was bowing down to what Derek was saying, since they're so, not, you know, too friendly at times. So,
yeah.
Right. But you know what? Derek and Jimmy almost made a lot of good progress in this episode when Derek was like, maybe one day we'll share war stories of the bad things that we've both done in the past so we can compare. You know, who's the choir boy in this situation, because, you know, Jimmy was paying back Derek. So I'm kind of sad to see this take, you know, three steps back when it's made one forward.
That is so true. Like, I feel like there has been so much progression between Jimmy and Derek that I really hate that this stupid romance with Karen is going to cause some, like, and again, like, yeah. I totally get that they like each other, and if they want to date, they shouldn't be told that they can't date because of Derek. Like, that's stupid. They're both adults, but it's so frustrating that all this progress that's been made is now just completely torn apart. But maybe, who knows, maybe Jimmy and Karen will surprise us, especially Jimmy, and he'll be mature about the situation. I doubt it, but maybe.
Well, you
never know. Hopefully.
It might happen. Yeah. It might happen.
Okay, so we then get to see Kyle, Julia, and Scott present this great new idea that Kyle had to Derek. And Derek tells them that they did great work. I didn't really follow what Kyle was saying to Derek that the idea was. I was kind of confused. Did either one of you catch it?
Well, okay, all I really caught from that, at least I think, is that Karen's role is going to be reduced or something. Is that right, or am I making that up?
Yeah, they're going to somehow, they figured out a way, basically, to make the diva an actual character within the show, as opposed to just a YouTube video. But in doing so, it is going to force them to reduce Karen's time on stage and reduce her role in order to make room for this added role.
That I thought was really interesting, because I mean that could possibly, I mean, we didn't see any issues between Anna and Karen, which I think we thought would happen earlier on, but now I mean I wonder if how Karen's gonna take it.
I think that because Anna is just so humble about everything she's given, that she wouldn't, you know, fuel a need to start a rivalry with Karen. As for Karen, I think that she might look at this as being, I brought her into this world, basically. I was the one that was interested in this. Why is she the one that is picked up and made the star? Why am I, you know, reduced all of a sudden? I mean, I hope Karen doesn't act like that, but I know Anna's not going to act like that. I'm 1,000% positive. Like we were saying before, she's too sage to do something like that to someone in the show business. She wouldn't think to do that, and she's smart not to.
I mean, I just feel bad for Karen. Like, you know, she left a starring role for this, and now...
You feel bad for her?
I do! I mean, like, she, you know, she left Bombshell because she was feeling, you know, that she belonged with this show, and then now she's pretty much out of the role. I mean, out of the big role that she's supposed to have.
I don't think that her role is going to be reduced so much that it's not going to be a big starring role. Like, I think it'll be more along the lines of, like, and I still don't think it'll be quite as equal as they were, but like how the characters of Elphaba and Galinda are both leading ladies in Wicked. And I don't think it'll be quite as equal as that. I still think Karen will be the greater role than the diva.
So she'll be the Elphaba, and the diva will be Glinda.
Well, no, I don't really think that you can even say that with Wicked, because I feel like their roles are pretty equal.
Because I'm only going off of the standpoint of introduction and backstory, because that happens for Elphaba in the beginning, so wouldn't that happen for Amanda in the beginning?
Yeah, but I mean, I still think that in this case, the Amanda role will, like, okay, if you have, like, leading lady star power, a percentage, I think it'll go from Amanda being 100% the leading lady to Amanda being like 80% the diva 20%, or Amanda 70% the diva 30%, something like that. Does that make sense?
But is that the same percentage that we're talking about for Wicked, just to keep your comparison going?
No, that's what I mean. Like, I was saying it, Wicked is 50-50.
Right, okay, I get you there.
Okay, sorry.
No, that makes sense.
That's interesting, because the poster outside of the wherever the theater that they're working at was Karen, right? It was Karen, and then it said
Hit List. It changed. It used to be a different poster, too.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It had, I think, Jimmy and Karen both on it, but now it's just Karen. With it's kind of snazzy. I like it, the sunglasses, and it says Hit List in them.
Right. So, I mean, it would be a huge change if her role was reduced. Because, I mean, just he said, you know, do you think she'll care since her role is going to be reduced? I mean, it just kind of seems like it's going to be, like, a big change, but
could just I don't be a see little... Karen being too happy. And I mean, I guess I should explain, Andrea, my point of view as to why I am not sad for Karen. Because I still think that if she wasn't 1,000% sure that Hit List was going to give her the funds or the star power that she desired, she should have stuck with Bombshell regardless of the fact of the direction or anything else. Because in the end of the day, there's sometimes situations, I think, that in life you have to work your way through to better yourself. And Bombshell was an example of something that Karen could have done to make her life better forever. Hit List may have been that, but she would have known that Bombshell would have been that. I mean, is your point, Andrea, that she wouldn't have made it past another rehearsal without flipping out on Tom? So she was about to, you know, have a larger situation happen that would have worsened her career rather than her making all the way to, you know, Broadway with Bombshell?
No, I just think that her time at Bomb, like, she left Bombshell, I think, because she just wasn't enjoying it anymore. And she thought that Hitless would be that show that, one, I mean, she was going to get, I think, a co-starring role, right? Because I think Jimmy's the other lead. Mm-hmm. And so, I thought she was moving down, you know, off Broadway, but at least she was still in a leading or you know, co-starring role. Whereas now, it made it seem, at least for me, that Kyle was saying that she was going to be more reduced, I guess. So more like a secondary, maybe. I think that's why I feel bad. Just that, like, she left for this specific role, and now if they're changing that, like, it's, you know, she didn't know what she was getting into, I guess.
Well, and I guess that's why, yeah, no, that does make sense. And I do think it would be poor form on their part if she was being reduced from leading lady to secondary lady, secondary character. Mm-hmm. But I still think that she is going to be the leading lady, just that, like I said, like, there will be a secondary lady now in the diva who has a little bit more limelight than would have been before. But I still think that it will be the stars of the show are Karen and Jimmy. Like, they will be the names on the Billboard headlines, and then underneath them, like, the first name will be the diva.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And yeah. I mean, what Julia mentioned was, like, that the diva, to be more of a character, would have to be, like, the enemy, right? Or, like, the, or, what did she, like, something like a way of showing the main character something, right? Like a role model or something. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see what she turns out to be if we ever find out what the show's about.
Yeah, definitely. So it's going to be interesting to see how this does play out in the show and how everybody reacts. And again, I also think that even though it will reduce the role of Karen, like, I don't think that Julia and Scott would go for something that would be taking Karen out as the main person role. Like, I think that they are trying to make the show better and to make it better while still, like, I don't know how to word what I'm thinking in my head, but yeah. Like, I don't think they want to completely change the show. I think they recognize that a big part of why this show is potentially going to be successful is Karen. Mm-hmm. And so they want to make it an even better show. And because even they were like, it'll bring her role down a little bit. Like, that's a little concerning, but they weren't like, so I think they still want her to be the main person. Well, if that makes any sense.
Derek was like, well, she's the consummate professional or whatever she said. Or, you know, like, what did right. he call her? Like, he was just like, yeah, she'll be like, fine, whatever. I don't even care.
Right, right. Which, you know, I'm sure that happens all the time where people get songs cut. Like, you know, I think, like, probably what this means is, like, let's say Karen had 10 songs that she was going to get to sing in the show. And the diva had one. Now Karen will have 7 songs, and the diva will have 3.
That would
or
make more
something,
sense.
Something
yeah.
like that. And so, like, that's how it'll reduce her role, but she'll still be the main person. Mm-hmm. So after all this is over, Julia is trying to say goodbye, but Scott's like, no, you're still going to be working with us. You had way too much fun. Like, this is awesome. Like, we don't have to call you a dramaturg, but you can still just be a consultant and help us out. And she's like, well, can I get a drink? And so the two go out for a drink. And then she's like, by the way, if you have any feelings again, make sure you tell me this time. And she's like, oh, I will.
They're so cute.
I agree. I really do like them. Okay, so then just the final little bits and pieces that happen. Richard shows up in Eileen's office and apologizes for his overreaction and talks about how, like, in his first marriage, his wife didn't work, and so he's not used to having a working woman with him. And then she admits to him that she isn't quite over her last relationship, so I was very happy for that, mm-hmm. that little line in there. And so they agreed
to go. It's nice to finally, you know, hear that she's not inhuman and she does remember this large development of season 1 going into 2 for mm-hmm. her character, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, so that made me happy. And so they just agree to go slowly. And then we also get a scene between Ivy and Sam. And they're having cake. And basically, like, reflecting on the past year that they've had, and Sam leaves and Ivy stays, and then I mean, you would say Ivy, but it was really more of Megan Hilty singing the song Bittersweet Symphony, because it didn't even really show Ivy singing it. It was just basically like, instead of playing a song over a montage scene like they do in other TV shows, they actually had the character singing it.
It was funny that we didn't see her actually physically singing it at any point, you know?
Right.
They usually do.
Usually, yeah. Usually they do, I think, just for marketability, to just make people want to go buy a Megan Hilty song, not just a song that might have been sung by Megan Hilty, if I heard that right, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, but what did you guys, I mean, again, we didn't see her, so there wasn't really a performance, but I mean, she sounded good on it. I know when I saw that it was going to be one of the songs, I was like, oh, another cover. Yay! But I think because of the way it was done, that it was just an overlay to a montage instead of them trying to force a performance into the show, I liked it, and it fit way better.
Mm-hmm. It did, and I mean, I appreciate those kind of things, and I wish that there wasn't that marketing aspect that I was talking about, that I wish that there were just, you know, moments where characters could have their voice over singing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It just shows their thoughts without having to break the action, you know?
Right.
But it was a bit awkward, too, when Tom walked into his apartment. That shot lasted way too long. Nothing happened in it, so I don't understand why we needed that long to feel his isolation. I think a simple throw of the coat, look around longing would have done that for me.
It did go on for a long time. I kept expecting there to be somebody waiting for him. Yes, like, I was like, is Sam going to be in his room or something? Right. I thought something was going to be.
It's a huge apartment, though. I mean, good for him.
$5, they made it big just so Sam could have that number in it in the past couple episodes.
Right. So then after the song ends, Jimmy shows up at Karen's place, and he apologizes for listening to Derek and asks to make it up to her by taking her out on a real date, and she agrees, and she's like, I have to go grab my coat first, and he just gives her his, and as they start walking, she reaches into the pocket and finds the drugs, but she just puts them back in and doesn't say anything, and they go off together. So that was interesting that she chose not to say anything.
Yeah. You think she would have?
If I found drugs, I would be like, excuse me, what the F is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
She'd been so scared of this episode. I was like, why wouldn't you say anything? I don't get it.
Yeah. It was dumb.
Like, might as well just get all the fights over with now instead of splitting them up.
I know, like, just explode, let it happen, and then have the calm after.
Yeah.
I mean, it works as a good cliffhanger, I have to admit. It did kind of, you know, make me interested in seeing what's going to happen with that particular really storyline, and I think that that's exactly the right moment for that reveal to happen, that Karen sees that. So if they're going to make her hold off on that decision, it's best to show her discovering that in the end of an episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, one good thing, though, is that we got to see that at least he hasn't taken them yet. So, like, he hasn't used them, so maybe he's
Which we
still...
could assume he hasn't used. Maybe he's used a little bit.
I guess it's true, but...
I guess, but he's been pretty happy. So, I mean, like, it seems like he would only take it when he's, you know, depressed or upset or whatever.
Right. That's his fallback. But... That's his valley. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just knowing that he took them anyway. And plus, like, now does he owe the guy money again? Like, you know, is he back in
the The guy was offering them to him as, like, a thank you for actually getting the money back to him so quickly. Like, all of it. But, yeah, so that's definitely something that I'm sure we will get payoff with in the upcoming episodes. And then final scene, Ivy's still at the bar, and Derek shows up with her to say happy birthday. And he's like, you didn't think I'd forget your birthday, did you? And she's happy he's there. And so I'm like, oh boy, is horny Ivy and sad Derek going to hook up?
Probably.
That's what I thought too. I mean, she's wanting some, and then he's all sad. So, well.
It's happened before. So why? Yep.
But it would be so, I mean, like, you know, so last season. If they did it, don't you think? If they actually went through with it?
Oh my goodness, I really hope they don't. But I was just like, oh, sad. But yeah, so that was the episode. And we unfortunately did not get previews for next week. They instead decided to show us a really long trailer for the stupid dating show that's taking the place of Smash on Monday or Tuesday nights. But whatever. We do, however, have like the description that we normally read. So next week's episode is called The Dress Rehearsal. And it says, as Tom and Julia race to Ready Bombshell for previews, Tom's eagerness to prove himself may not be the best thing for the show. An onstage mishap forces Ivy to make a choice, while tension mounts at Hit List as Karen becomes suspicious of Derek's motives towards her. So, what do you guys think? Any of this means or any theories?
That's really weird. This the one that's standing out to me is this onstage mishap that forces Ivy to make a choice. What in the world could that be?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like on stage? Like, it's obviously during the dress rehearsal because this episode's title is The Dress Rehearsal. But what could force her to make such a large decision that she does, you know, on stage? I don't understand what.
Maybe she gets hurt
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Injury. There you go. You found it. You have to.
But
then
what choice? I mean, like sitting out or like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be something like maybe her voice will, you know, hurt after she's singing too much. And it'll be, you can sing the opening night of Bombshell, but you'll never sing again if you do that. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I would assume that it would be something like an injury, but.
Well, you know, I mean, it would make sense for her voice, I suppose, because she did have, I don't know if it was vocal nodes or she had something going on with maybe just laryngitis last season. So to bring back that storyline would be great continuity because it would show, oh, there was more to her vocal problems that one time and they're going to affect her in a large way. Like, I would love that.
Then, like, would we go back to the whole, you know, overdosing and stuff? I don't know. I feel like it's, like, hitting too close to that for them to go back to. I don't know. They could, though, if they did it right.
And the reason I say I love that isn't because I like to see the downfall of Ivy. I really don't want to. I want her to prosper well in Bombshell. I just want to for good drama's purposes. You know, I think that would be a great way. And of course, I just want to be right.
I just don't see them doing a complete redo of everything from last season. But
well, not even a redo, but what if, well, I guess it would be if Karen jumped in last minute.
Yeah.
What if it's someone new? What if it's just some new Marilyn and maybe someone we don't know yet? Or
I don't know.
Insane.
I don't think that they'll do something like, I don't know. I just.
Well, maybe it'll be like, maybe she like twists her ankle or something and she has to decide whether to take medicine or, you know, just deal with it for now. And we know how bad her problems are with the drugs, so.
No, anyway, yeah, but it sucks because we don't actually have a video preview to go along with this, which helps in our speculation.
But dang.
Whatever. Apparently, NBC is just completely done with Smash.
Go ahead, Andrea. Since I guess it bombed in the ratings on Saturday. Looks like the show got 1.9 million viewers and a 0.5 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic. So that's about, I'd say, like half of what it was getting on Tuesdays, yeah. Which is pretty sad.
Smash is pretty much dead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I mean, NBC tried to help it with having The Voice rerun air before, but people don't really watch TV on Saturday. I mean, I even missed it because I was in the middle of moving, and so I just recorded it. But I'm hoping a lot of other people
watch
it
online. I didn't watch it live. You kidding me? I mean, it's a Saturday night. Hello.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible time to have anything to do but entertainment, like of your own in the real world. Like, no one wants to be sitting around, you know,
right,
catching anything on TV, I think, at that hour. So it's just very blatant to me that that's what NBC was doing. I really wish that they would have rethought that, but it doesn't seem like.
Well, and to switch it out for this, you know, Bachelor remake, basically, like, really?
I know, like, at least put it in with something like, I don't even think of like the same genre, but perhaps something with a brain.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's this whole like thing that is not. This is not an appropriate place to talk about it, but. You know, that whole debate between how, like, reality shows are overtaking television versus actual stories,
mm-hmm.
which is what TV used to be, and
well,
it's
I'm
very frustrating.
It's cheaper to produce something like, what's it called, Ready for Love or something like that?
Yeah.
Instead of this show, Smash, that does, you know, choreography and original music, and that has to take a lot. So, I'm guessing that's part of it. But at the same time, they already put so much money into this season. You'd think they just let it go through at the same time and, you know, let the voice help it out a little, maybe. But
I know. I don't understand why they couldn't just let it finish out in its time slot for the season and then next year just say, okay, it's done.
Yeah. But and I mean, I really don't see, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see how Ready for Love does. But if that's the show that brings them back, you know, because I think NBC's, I don't know, even know, they're like last in the ratings or something.
I mean, they kind of always have been.
Yeah,
I think,
but if Evil Longoria and Ready for Love is the show that brings them out, I mean, that's just sad. There's a lot about our society.
I find it not sad, but odd that The Voice is the show that makes NBC thrive nowadays, mm-hmm. and that is their go-to. And,
well, it's Adam Levine, let me tell you.
Well, I think, I think that he has a lot to do with it, and can you blame the viewers? Hello. but that's pretty much all I have to say on that.
But unfortunately, that's, you know, the way things are looking, and I believe that's pretty much it for the news this week, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's pictures that are going to be up soon, but other than that, not much news actually happening.
Right, so...
Did Catherine Murphy take a shower this week?
Probably, I'm sure she did. I hope so, anyway. and, you know, there hasn't been much time between the last episode and this one, so we didn't have quite as much listener feedback, but we do have a couple of things that we wanted to read off to you guys. So, Mitch, would you like to read the first one?
Oops, sorry. Absolutely. So our first comment is from Zoe. Oh, sorry, Claudia. They say, "Yay, Karen finally stood up for herself and told off Jimmy and Derek. I loved it." Yes, we did too.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So fantastic. And Andrea, would you read the second one?
And Zoe has 2 points. One, wasn't Julia supposed to be pregnant? What happened to that? Yeah.
About that.
I don't know.
It was not really a pregnancy, I guess, because, And her second point is, when is the Hitlist album coming out? I want to buy songs from the show, but not if there's going to be an album. I'd really appreciate it if you knew the answers to my question, or you can at least speculate. We don't have the answer to that. I haven't seen anything about a Hitlist album, but, I mean, it would be cool since there's a Bombshell one.
Right, and it could be something that they announce at the end, but again, if Smash is going out, but I don't know, the albums tend to do better than everything else, and they're, I mean, it's relatively cheap to produce an album, and especially if it's, you know, mostly going to be on iTunes, so that might be something that they do to try to make a little bit more money from the show to salvage.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how much like time and effort and money it takes for them to, you know, put that together, but yeah, so far, no announcement.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I completely, like, I was laughing when I read this comment because I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we spent so much time last season speculating on this whole Julia pregnancy thing and what was going to happen with it. And I completely forgot about it. I was like, you're right, she was. So either we were just complete morons reading into things that were not there, or they just decided to not do anything with that.
I mean, it worked, if you know, because we didn't notice until now.
And my guess would be that since in the end they got a new showrunner and completely revamped the show and got rid of Frank and Michael, that there was no point to make her be pregnant anymore, because it probably would have been a big, like, who's the baby daddy thing in the original plan. So once they got rid of those two characters, it was like, well, there's no purpose in this. We didn't outright state that she was pregnant. We just hinted at it. So let's just forget about it and see if anybody notices.
It's almost like they're out too.
Apparently,
by, like, not really saying it,
Zoe's the only one who noticed. So thank you guys for your comments. And as always, we do really, really appreciate and love hearing from you guys. We are on Twitter, and you can follow us there and tweet at us. We are at @Smash_chat. You can also, of course, always find us at hypebolt.com, where you can leave comments on the show notes for this post and any of the other Smash news posts that Andrea is constantly putting up for you guys over at Hypebolt when they come available. And also check out the other fandoms that are at Hypebolt, since Smash probably won't be a fandom for too much longer, unfortunately. And then, of course, you can find us on iTunes where you can subscribe and rate and review us there. So, yeah, that is pretty much it for episode 31 of Smash Chat. And we will talk to you guys again next week after the dress rehearsal. And hopefully the ratings will be a little bit better. Maybe people just forgot and didn't know and will tune in. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, but until then.
For the best.
Yeah, so bye, guys.
Bye. Beyond the rainbow.